Lesson 1, Technology. Part A, Listen, Write, and Speak.
Exercise 1. Listen to the tape and choose the best answer to each of the following questions.
There are all sorts of ways to categorize computers. Here's one. Computers are small, medium, or large. Pretty easy, isn't it? But computer people like to use their own language so that the rest of us will be impressed. They call computers micros, minis, and mainframes. Now, do you think that is better than small, medium, and large? Microcomputers, or micros, are the small computers that you see everywhere, in Sears, Radio Shack, lots of homes, and first-grade classrooms. If a micro is light enough to carry easily and can run on a battery, it's called a portable. If it's small enough, it's called a laptop. Even smaller, a notebook computer, for it really is about the size of a notebook. Micros are often called personal computers, not because they get personal, but because they are generally used only by one person at a time. So a person can say, "This is my personal computer." Laptops and notebooks are very popular because they are status symbols, almost as good as a car phone, especially in an airport. You carry one of these babies on and people think, "This guy is important. He has his own personal computer." If you had a mini computer or a mainframe, which cost a lot more, you couldn't do that. Not a single person in the airport would even know that you had a computer of your own. However, the thing for you to know is, all of these, personal, portable, laptop, notebook, are micros. There are also handheld or palm-top computers, but they are not really important. They're like the 3-inch TV. Cute, but do you really want to use it? But with improved wireless transmission, you could use one to send mail or get a stock price while you were walking through the park. Mini computers, or minis, are bigger than micros and therefore too big to carry. They don't run on batteries and you can't take them on the plane. But they still aren't really big. They're bigger than a bread box, but smaller than the fridge. And they cost more money than the micros and can do more. Compared to the micros and minis, mainframes are the real giants. These insist on a private room, which must have air conditioning in both summer and winter. They cost big dollars, too, and they're definitely not personal. Generally, many people, hundreds maybe, use a mainframe simultaneously. This is the type that the IRS uses to keep track of our money. Mainframes actually came first. Then, when someone built a smaller and less powerful computer, they called it the mini computer. And when an even smaller one came along, it became the microcomputer. While all three types are still very much in use today, you can think of the 1950s and 60s as the mainframe decades, the 70s and 80s as the heydays of the mini computers, and the 80s and 90s as the micro years. And the progress has been phenomenal. You can buy a micro with 2,000 of today's dollars and have a much more powerful and reliable machine than you could have had for $5 million in 1955. Today, micro is carry-on luggage that you can use in the airplane as it cruises along at 35,000 feet.
Exercise 2. Listen to the tape again, and while you listen, make brief notes to help you complete the exercise.
There are all sorts of ways to categorize computers. Here's one. Computers are small, medium, or large. Pretty easy, isn't it? But computer people like to use their own language so that the rest of us will be impressed. They call computers micros, minis, and mainframes. Now, do you think that is better than small, medium, and large? Microcomputers, or micros, are the small computers that you see everywhere, in Sears, Radio Shack, lots of homes, and first-grade classrooms. If a micro is light enough to carry easily and can run on a battery, it's called a portable. If it's small enough, it's called a laptop. Even smaller, a notebook computer, for it really is about the size of a notebook. Micros are often called personal computers, not because they get personal, but because they are generally used only by one person at a time. So a person can say, "This is my personal computer." Laptops and notebooks are very popular because they are status symbols, almost as good as a car phone, especially in an airport. You carry one of these babies on and people think, "This guy is important. He has his own personal computer." If you had a mini computer or a mainframe, which cost a lot more, you couldn't do that. Not a single person in the airport would even know that you had a computer of your own. However, the thing for you to know is, all of these, personal, portable, laptop, notebook, are micros. There are also handheld or palm-top computers, but they are not really important. They're like the 3-inch TV. Cute, but do you really want to use it? But with improved wireless transmission, you could use one to send mail or get a stock price while you were walking through the park. Mini computers, or minis, are bigger than micros, and therefore too big to carry. They don't run on batteries, and you can't take them on the plane. But they still aren't really big. They're bigger than a bread box, but smaller than the fridge. And they cost more money than the micros and can do more. Compared to the micros and minis, mainframes are the real giants. These insist on a private room, which must have air conditioning in both summer and winter. They cost big dollars, too, and they're definitely not personal. Generally, many people, hundreds maybe, use a mainframe simultaneously. This is the type that the IRS uses to keep track of our money. Mainframes actually came first. Then, when someone built a smaller and less powerful computer, they called it the mini computer. And when an even smaller one came along, it became the microcomputer. While all three types are still very much in use today, you can think of the 1950s and 60s as the mainframe decades, the 70s and 80s as the heydays of the mini computers, and the 80s and 90s as the micro years. And the progress has been phenomenal. You can buy a micro with 2,000 of today's dollars and have a much more powerful and reliable machine than you could have had for $5 million in 1955. Today, micro is carry-on luggage that you can use in the airplane as it cruises along at 35,000 feet.
Part B. Listen and relax.
Directions. You're going to hear the song Hand in Hand. Supply the missing words and sing along.
Beat
Further listening.
Directions. You are going to hear a short passage once. Listen carefully and choose the best answer to each question you hear.
In Kansas City, Missouri, a computer helps firefighters. The computer contains information about every one of the 350,000 street addresses in the city. When a firefighter answers a call, the computer gives him information about the burning building. The computer can give the location of the building and its size, type, and content. In fact, the computer system has almost unlimited ways of helping firefighters with their problems. For example, it can give medical information about invalids living in a burning building. With this information, the firefighters can take special care to find these sick persons and remove them quickly and safely. The speed of a computer is amazing. Within 2 or 3 seconds after a call is received, the computer provides necessary information for the firefighters. The information is then sent to them by radio from the computer center in the city hall. The Kansas City computer system also contains a medical record of each of the city's 900 firefighters. This kind of information is especially useful when a firefighter is injured. With this medical information, doctors of a hospital can treat the injured firefighters more quickly and easily. The firefighters themselves greatly appreciate the help from the computer. They know about possible dangers ahead of them and can prepare for them. Many times the computer information helps to save lives and properties, and sometimes the lives of the firefighters themselves.
Question number one. Which of the following is not included in the computer information? Question number two. How is information about a fire sent to the firefighters? Question number three. How many firefighters are there in Kansas City? Question number four. What is the main idea of the passage? Question number 5. What can you infer from the passage? This is the end of lesson 1.